The Rat Fathom, in three interlacing parts. The agricultural revolution hopefully will end pollution, though I think it much more likely it will only ease it slightly. This contention, I contend, is but a means to but an end, and thus the kings of Rome expired, and the cannons were all fired. Thus the plot and morals clear. If you want to season beer, place a lemon very near the person most admired. Place a very lemon near the child who's closest to the hearth, the child who likes the hottest bath, the child by Cupid most desired. The king dislikes a coup d'etat, and I a rancid abattoir, and many men a gooseberry sponge, and every one a gloomy dungeon filled with chains and fearsome fangs. The water drips, the cell door clangs, and dormice chatter in the wind. The academic fails, alas, to see the cats who knew the dormice sinned. The king dislikes them all but me. I wandered lonely as a twit, a bluted from the hedge outside. Aside I cast all thoughts of woe. Go, thoughts, I said, and then a bit of bark my lofty thoughts defied. As fires will melt the falling snow, so you and I will lead the march, and bravely spurn the biting cold, and leave our footsteps in the sea. Whilst lesser men beneath the larch, the older men, as prophets told, forbear, though rich, to pay the fee. Thus spoke the prophet long ago. My thoughts were then on other things. The kings who taught me semaphore can hardly be said to bestow to souls that soar on silken wings that sublime sense of knowing more than doctors and nurses and artisans too, than the men from the mint or the men from the zoo, than businessmen's parents who've come from the cold, than the sage who grows old or the seer who grows mould on saucers of milk left out on the sill, or chocolate shrimps that they make at the mill. Thus spoke the prophet, so strong and so true. The ostrich, then, inveterate beast, when nesting in the scrub, eats large blue cakes with unripe yeast. It buys them at the pub, and drinks therewith a pint of ale, and cleans its nest with gusto, and when it's sad it tells a tale of death and lusto. But when it nests on mountain tops, or perches high on crags, it takes its ease in cast-out slops. It doesn't sing, it brags. In such a case it brags with vigour, and even sends its friends away. Sorry sight, O fallen figure, O fallen pomp, relinquished day! At times it haunts the lonely shore, but when distressed it wails, and sings weird songs of ancient lore, in which invention rarely fails. Thus ostriches are creatures strange, like poems they are wont to change. I was always sad when the people round me said that the elixir of youth must contain excessive lead, and that animals, vegetables, the humble wombat too, would never become younger by drinking salty glue, or go over the eight and collapse into bed with a navy blue flute on the top of your head. What a frightening picture the elephants drew! I was always glad when the folk around me sang that the secret of the tiger lay in its horrid fang, and that Parsifal the porcupine and all his hateful ilk could live off petty cash receipts and half a pint of milk, or kill a baboon with a Swiss boomerang, or poison a pig with a tainted meringue, and embroider the tail on a mural of silk. I was often mad when the men about me cried and pretended they were sorry when a king they hated died. And remorse was all I felt when the revolution came, and the horse was all I smelt when they tried to change my name or lace my meringues with strong cyanide and pretend that my father was not horrified the day that my mother was led to him lame. At the edge of the forest a little bird sang of the trauma of life, the storm and the drang, and the predator pigeons, the communist crows, spoke on all of the topics which everyone knows. But does everyone care? Asked our hero, alarmed, on the field of dry stubble so dreadfully farmed, so appallingly ploughed, so disastrously sown, that the ploughshare was ruined, the ploughman had flown. Oh, does anyone care? Cried our hero again. Oh, does anyone dare to harvest the grain? Yes, yes, cried the hoopoes. Yes, yes, cried the twites. We agree on the principle, but shan't waive our rights. Let's combine to continue what men have begun. Let's take up our cannon and fire our gun. From 80 leagues distance the blast could be heard. The report was excessive and scattered the herd. The elephants fled and the aardvarks withdrew. The twites they all twittered, the crows they all crew at the edge of the forest where the avocet lives and the people are pobbles or sailors of sieves. The eligible elephant spoke of the day when the king had seduced his great nephew away. It was thus that the realm of the forest declined. By the vice of the king it was all undermined. I rode to the sea on the back of a goat, and sang to the moon of a beautiful stoat. Imbued with this sense of ineffable glee, I spurred the beast on and went into the sea. The brine it engulfed us, we sang not a note. We searched for a sail, but there wasn't a boat. We sought in the sea for aught that should float. I slid through the sea on the back of a fish, methought it would make me a delicate dish, but there chanced to appear a demonstrative beast, for whom every meal should end like a feast. My fate it was sealed, and I cared not a whit that the board was prepared and the candles were lit, and we started to eat, and the beast we all bit. The importance I claim derives from the fact that the goat became wedged in my digestive tract. The pain, do I bore you, was great, I assure you. I swore at the doctor with minimal tact. And the fishes came round and condemned me outright, their voices all raised to ensure that their plight would be better than mine this abominable night. Buy me a bonnet and polish my boots, bring me a bouquet of paranoid coots, follow me down to the waters of Bath and fall on your knees at the fishmonger's hearth. Sell me your money, but give me your land, invest what you owe me and give me her hand. My dowry, my dearie, must be of the best. A hairy old Tory from South Budapest has the whole of the cash of the crew in his care, and my wealth must exceed that of Adimithir. When the trumpet is sounded, the king on his knees shall show off his singing with great expertise, and 90 grand pianos all play by one man, though the tuning is faulty, sounding worse than a million cats that sing in the woods and make a vast profit by purchasing goods from the gnomes on the left or the sprites on the right, who is wretched in practice but good on the night, arrayed with medallions and headdresses fine. He sings of the days of the summer and wine in a reedy falsetto which lacks any timbre, like tires on a road with a very poor camber. Meanwhile the old king will be choking to death in the arms of his widow, the evil Queen Beth, who poisoned her stepsons with strychnine and salt, which ensured the proceedings were called to a halt. There was an old person of Bognor. For pets he had neither a dog nor a luminous taupe, a rare calliope, or the best armadillo in Bognor. She never tells me yes or no. It pains me so. It does, you know, to hear her no. She seldom tells me why or when, but now and then, some 9 or 10, she'll why or when. She often tells me whereabouts, between the shouts, the ins and outs of crassest louts. She, whom I have so admired, is often somewhat vague, and he, my colleague in the woods, is often plagued by colds, and I, though scarce allowed to walk, have visited The Hague, where, legal wrangles understood, the king his sceptre holds. And we who are so many now that we cannot be wrong, should not be forced to make a point already made before. Our lives are overgrown with weeds, the way is very long, the primrose path shall peter out in 84 years. And so she never tells me who is bound to do, to wit, to woo my kangaroo, or who will come another day, and what he'll say or throw away, of come what may.